Well, good morning, and I love that song that we just finished singing, that, and especially that line that says and reminds us that of the mountains that God has moved, that we believe that He'll move them again. We're here this morning on a special Sunday. It's our Vision Sunday, as we also continue our teaching on building margin, making room for what matters. And some of us have those mountains, in even in building our schedules and trying to build margin into our life. And what you need to do is believe that God can move that mountain and that He will give you the margin if you'll just trust Him with your schedule. But today, as I said, this is Vision Sunday, and we are going to be looking forward into where God is leading us and what it's going to take, and it's going to take faith for us to get to where God is calling us to go. And something that's going to come up in our text that we're going to read today is this idea that fear will keep us from our faith, or faith will keep us from our fear. And what I've done is before we look forward, what we want to do is we want to look backward. And as we look backward, we want to look into the founding of our church. And that's why today we're here in this defining moment, if you will. We're in a place where God brought together a group of people to pray on this grassy knoll. To those who've been around here for a while, it's known as the grassy knoll over Garden City. And it's because it overlooks Garden City. You can see into the Providence line. And it was here, birthed from prayer, that gave 63 folks the faith that they needed to step out, that their faith would overcome their fear. But I wanted you to hear this story directly from somebody who was there, our founding pastor, Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave, would you join us? It's so good. It's so good to have Pastor Dave with us today. And I just asked him to come and share with us what it was like in those early years, the kind of faith that it took to actually birth the Cranston Christian Fellowship. So, Pastor Dave, will you share that with us?
Yeah, it's quite a story, Rick. It was actually on this very spot. We stood the day before we were going to have our very first Sunday services for the Cranston Christian Fellowship, right down there in Garden City. And even though there had been lots of prayer beforehand, and we had the promises of God, and we had the command of Jesus, I have to tell you, there was still a lot of uncertainty about where this was all going to go. And, the challenges were great because we realized, first of all, what we were leaving behind. I mean, we had a great church, a pastor we loved, programs that were beneficial to us, many, many friends. And here we were stepping out to do something that none of us had ever done before. And we were going to trust God that He was going to give us this place. We actually claimed that verse in Joshua 1. Wherever you place your feet, I've given you this place. And so we were trusting God that He's going to go before us. But man, the fears of failure. I mean, we knew other church plants had flopped, and maybe we'd be among them. Neighbors, would they be opposed to us? Would we run out of money? And would God give us even the unity and fellowship to stay together through this thing? But in all of that, we had this sense that God's going to do something amazing. And sure enough, that's what He did. He met those fears. He gave us a willingness to accept things that were new to us. We had to start worshiping on metal folding chairs in an auditorium. We had to hand me down hymn books and a piano that was out of tune, and a church without a building, without a sign, without a reputation, without a history. All those things seemed to be against us, and yet we knew Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, and this was a place in need. So we stepped out to do that. And along the way, we saw these amazing ways that God provided for us. Obviously, in a physical way, He gave us a place to meet, actually several of them over the course of 11 years. We'd be in these rented spaces, but providing people who are willing to do the work, givers who are willing to make commitments for that to happen. But I think most importantly were the spiritual provisions and things we could not have predicted of how God opened doors. One example of many that I could share with you is our contact with one family. They're still part of our church family today, the Chirinis. We went to visit in their home, and we found their hearts open to know more about the Lord. And so we said, well, how about we start a Bible study in your home? But out of that Bible study came salvation and transformation and new life to that family, to their neighbor family, the Podmaskas, to their in-law family, the Collinses, and their daughter, Patty Yetton, to Terry Millett and her family. And then that story kept being repeated over and over and over again as the gospel was changing people's lives. And they'd come into this place of gathering that had no religious traditions or trappings or beauty about it. And that, in a sense, kind of put the spotlight on the reality of what was going on in those people's lives. Their lives were being changed. They had joy in the Lord, and you could see that on their faces and in their singing and in their testimonies. And this kind of drew others to come into that. And so, looking back on it, we don't have any regrets. We thank God for what He did, for the way lives were changed, and the churches that were started, and all around the country and really around the world now, the effects of the step of faith that those people were willing to take in spite of their fears, and God answered their prayers.
Yeah. Dave, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And that's exactly what we want to talk about today, is this idea of allowing your faith to overwhelm any fears that you have. So let's take our Bibles, let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse number 21.
So there in our text in Mark chapter 5, and just understanding the context that Jesus has already been spending his time in the morning. He starts out his day meeting with God, understanding his mission and his purpose, living on purpose. And now he's continuing to go around this, what we looked at a couple weeks ago about the Sea of Galilee, going from one town, one village along the shoreline there. And now we come to this verse. Notice what it says in Mark 5 verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again, went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come, lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live." Now, I want you to think about this. Again, this is a leader of a synagogue, which doesn't mean that he was the priest, but he was responsible for the worship that would happen in that synagogue, which also means that he was probably a man who had wealth or means. And there's no doubt that this father has done everything that he can to bring doctors in or medicine in. And now he's heard about this rabbi, because the medicine, the doctors didn't know good. But he's heard about this rabbi who is teaching that he is the Messiah. He's heard about this rabbi who has done these miraculous healings and signs. And he goes as his last hope. He goes to try and find this rabbi, this person that goes by the name of Jesus. And notice what happened, that Jesus went with him. And all the people followed, crowding around him. So this guy goes, begs Jesus, "Come with me, come back with me to my house." And envision in your mind, if you will, like a crowd of 100 or so people, all crowding around him. And as Jesus is trying to follow Jairus back to his home, back to his little village, back to his little town, that this crowd is just like poaching up on him. They're just encroaching up on him in his space. And the people are bumping into him, and it's shoulder to shoulder. And notice what happens. A woman in that crowd who had suffered for 12 years with a constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had not gotten better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, just like Jairus. This lady heard about this rabbi, about Jesus, and she came up behind him through the crowd, and she touched his robe. Now think about this. If you were to read Leviticus chapter 15, you would understand what she did was she just made another person unclean. Because in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, she would be declared, because she had some kind of a blood disorder, a blood disease, she was declared unclean. She wasn't allowed into the synagogue. She was declared, she was put out. And here's what she's thinking. Mark tells us, "For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." think about the faith that this lady had in the person of who Jesus was, that she thought if somehow she could just reach out and touch his robe, that she would be healed. And then the text goes on, and because the lady did exactly that, the lady reached out, she touched him. And all of a sudden, the lady realizes that something has changed inside of her, that she has been physically healed. And Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. And what does he do? So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" Now, I want you to think about this. Think about, there's this crowd of people around him. In the disciples' minds, they are on this emergency trip, if you will, to hurry and get back to Jairus' house to heal their daughter. And as he is going, something happens, the unpredictable. Remember, we've talked about this in building margin in your life. You have to plan for the unpredictable. And now Jesus stops long enough to say, "Hey, who touched me?" Now, there were, again, I think hundreds of people all surrounded around Jesus, and the disciples are thinking, "Who touched you? Who cares who touched you, Jesus? We got to hurry up. We got to get to this guy's house." And Jesus is like, "No, this wasn't a normal type of touch. This wasn't like someone just bumped my shoulder. This was a touch from somebody who had faith in me, faith in who I am." Because he knew what had happened. This lady realized what had happened. And what happens in our text is this lady comes to him, falls down at his feet. And notice Jesus' response to her. Look what Jesus says to her. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Now, I want us just to pause here long enough to hear the weight of these words that this lady who has had this blood disorder for years, Jesus calls her daughter. Do you know that this is the only time recorded in all of the Gospels that Jesus ever called somebody daughter? These are words of acceptance. These are words of love. And Jesus calls out to this lady who has heard from the church in the past, "You're unclean. You're not welcome here. You have some kind of disease." And now she hears the rabbi, the one who she touched, the one who she would have made ceremonial unclean. And Jesus calls her daughter. Think about the weight of those words. And I wonder how many of you here today need to hear those words that Jesus would call you. He's calling you to be his daughter. He's calling you to be his son. But Jesus points out that it's your faith that made you well. It's your faith. It wasn't some superstition that you thought that you had in touching my robe. There wasn't some kind of power in the robe that he would have worn as a rabbi. No, Jesus is making it very clear. He's saying that your faith has made you well. And I wonder this morning, you maybe have been coming here for several months, weeks, or maybe even years. And yet you know that you haven't put your faith in the person of Jesus like this lady has. You have not put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross so that you could have the forgiveness of sins. You haven't done that yet. This morning, will you hear Jesus calling to you, "Put your faith in me," so that he can call you son or daughter? What is keeping you from putting your faith in Jesus? And there's no doubt that many times what keeps us is our fear. Our fear will overwhelm our faith, or your faith can overwhelm your fear. And I wonder where you are today. Today, the next step that you maybe need to make is to put your faith in Jesus as your Savior so that you can go in peace. So that you can go in peace and be at peace with God. So this lady not only received a physical healing, but she received a spiritual healing. And this is maybe what you need today. And today, on June 2nd, today could be the day, on this day that we celebrate as Vision Sunday, could be a day where you receive Jesus as your Savior. But notice what happens. While Jesus was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now or the rabbi now." Now think about that. I mean, think about the thoughts that might be going through the disciples' minds. They're thinking, see, we took too much time here. We shouldn't have stopped for this one. But notice Jesus' response. Jesus said this. Jesus overheard those messengers come to Jairus. And here's what he says. He says, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." See, this comes back to our main idea, that fear can keep us from faith, or faith can keep us from fear. And I wonder about you today. Those of you who are Christ followers, those of you who have put your faith and your trust in Christ, I wonder what fear is keeping you from stepping out in faith. And specifically, as we think about building margin, making room for what really matters, will you have the faith to step out and to commit to a time with God every day? You say, well, that just doesn't make sense. Yes, that's why it's a step of faith. Will you let your faith overcome your fear that it's not going to work? Will you let your faith overcome your fear of where you need to have margin, where you need to bring your schedule to God, where you need to bring the holistic of your time, all of your time, bring it to Him. And you would say to God, "God, here's my time, here's my calendar, you take it. And God, I want to have margin and build margin, and I want to start my day with connecting with you. I want to make sure that I'm taking time for my own health. I want to make sure that I'm making room for what really matters, and that's my family, that's my friends, and that's for community." But I also want to ask you this. I wonder about you this morning. As we think about our vision, about where we're headed, that we really do believe that we can radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one church at a time. And as we move forward, I wonder if God maybe is doing something in your own heart, in your own life, because what this is going to take, will you by faith continue to pray what I've been asking our church to pray for the past 2 years? For the past 2 years, I've been asking you, will you daily pray, "God, show me one person that I can demonstrate your love to today." And then you're listening. You are looking for that one person by faith to ask God to show you who you can give one of these You Matter cards to. You're daily looking for that person just to let them know by faith you're going to step out. You're going to let your faith overcome your fear of being like, "Oh man, that's too weird. And well, they're going to think that I'm from some other planet or something. They're going to think that I'm off, that something's wrong with me." No. Well, what if you just said, "Hey, maybe you start the conversation out like this. "Hey, I know this may sound weird, but I just want to let you know that you matter to God and you matter to me." And just see where the conversation goes. And if it doesn't go anywhere, what you have done is just planted the seed that they matter to God. But maybe the conversation will go somewhere, and by faith you just continue in that conversation. Maybe your fear is keeping you from seriously considering being one of the 100 to actually go and help us launch our next site. You say, because you're so comfortable here. You heard Pastor Dave share how about in the very beginning, they were comfortable at the church that launched us. They were comfortable there. They had to give that up to go by faith. And you know what they did? They allowed their faith to overcome their fear. Will you seriously consider being one of those ones? Will you just pray about that? Will you pray about being one of the 100 that helps us go and launch? And again, we don't know if we're going north, south, east, or west yet. And you would say, well, that would make a big difference. I totally get that. But will you at least pray about it? Will you consider allowing your faith to overcome any fear that you might have? And what about this? What we know is that we need a whole lot more servant leaders to be raised up right here and also to help us go and launch. Will you consider by faith to be in one of those servant leaders that will be raised up? But what about giving? Because all of this, you know, I have shared this already. I shared it back in January, how this is going to take actual finances. In order for us to do this, in order for us to launch a new site, in order for us to enhance our own location right here. One way that we know that we need to enhance in order to give accessibility to every person, we want to create a wider, a greater lobby space with an elevator so that people can actually make it to the second floor, so every person can make it to the second floor for the discipleship classes, for the kids' classes that happen on that second floor. And what we're asking, what we know, that this is a large endeavor, but we're asking every person, those of you who are giving, will you increase your giving? Back in January, I had shared this with you. Somewhere in March, I had come to you and asked you, hey, this is coming. Will you start looking at your finances? And will you start seeing how you can trust God, how you can, by faith, trust that God would give you in order for you to give, to increase your giving? And so, some of you, and this is something intentional that you have to do. This is, and we're talking about intentional percentage giving. And will you allow your faith to overcome your fear in the area of giving? I want us to think about faith in this way. I want you to envision in your mind that you're in your car and that you're on a road in the pitch black. You're out in the middle of the boondocks, in the middle of nowhere. And there's no street lights. The only lights that you have are the headlights on your car. And if you are sitting still, you can only see so far. You have no idea what lies ahead, what's further up the road. The only way that you'll know is if you start moving your car, if you put your car in drive and start going in that direction. You don't know if there's going to be a curve ahead until you actually come up on that sign that says curve ahead. You don't know what's on the other side of that curve until you drive through that curve. The only way that you're going to be able to see further up the road in a pitch black, dark road is by getting your car and moving. And this is what faith does. Faith calls us to our next action step. And what I'm asking us as a church today is to step out by faith and take the next action step that God is calling you to. What is God calling you to? Now, here's something that we need to be very aware of. Notice in our story, back in our text, notice what happens. Because Jesus shows up where everybody has already said, hey, Jairus, your daughter is dead. And when Jesus shows up, he tells the crowd that is there, he tells them, she's not dead. She's just asleep. This is a play on words for him. Of course she was dead. Everybody knew that she was dead. But Jesus knew that he was going to bring her back to life and give life to her. And so, what's the reaction of the crowd? The crowd laughed at him. People aren't going to understand the step of faith because it's not going to make sense to them. Yeah, people will look at you, they'll laugh at you, they'll think that you've lost it, they're going to think something's wrong. But if this is what God is calling you to, we want to encourage you to step confidently in there. We want to remind you of that song that we already sang about how that God has already moved some mountains. And if we believe that He can do that same thing again, and this would be a defining moment in your life. This will be a growing moment in your life as you move in this direction. Notice what happens. The crowd laughs at him, but he made them all to leave. And he took the girls, father and the mother and the three disciples. You know what? He takes Peter, he takes James and John, and they go in. Nobody else gets to see this. Nobody else gets to see what happens. He pushes the crowd away. Why? Because they didn't have the faith. And yet, remember what he's telling Jairus. Don't let your fear overshadow your faith. Instead, let your faith overshadow your fear. Jairus goes into this room where the little girl was lying, and holding her hand, Jesus said to her, and he speaks in Aramaic here, and which means, little girl, get up. And look what happened. And the little girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. And notice the reaction. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. I wonder how long it has been in your life that you have been overwhelmed by the grace of God. I wonder how long has it been that you have been totally amazed at the faith step that you took as you stepped out by faith. You were overwhelmed with joy at what God did. You were amazed at what God has done. This is the kind of faith that is going to take for us to radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island. This is the kind of faith that's going to take for you to pray on a daily basis. God, who is it today that you want me to demonstrate your love to? Who is it today that you want me to let them know that they matter to God and that they matter to you? This is the kind of faith that's going to take for us to launch a new site. This is the kind of faith that's going to take for us to actually see a God, for us to go from a $900,000 budget to a $1.3 million budget. That's the budget that we are proposing tonight, that's going to be put forth before the church in this visit. It's going to take faith. And I'm asking you to come on this faith journey with me, with us. Because it's just not me. There's our elder board is fully on board. There, many of you are fully on board. And what I and our staff team fully on board. We all are willing to step out by faith to ask us, God, how do you want us to increase our giving? How do you want us to increase our serving? God, who is it? We are praying. God, who is it today that you want me to demonstrate your love to? We're living like this. We're reaping the benefits, and we are overwhelmed by what God is doing. In fact, tonight we're going to hear some of those stories. Tonight at our annual celebration, tonight at 6 o'clock, you come and we're going to hear some of those stories about what God is doing in the lives of people. And so I hope that you'll come and you'll be able to be celebrate that you will be overwhelmed by the step of faith that many people are already taking. As we close, I want us to notice this. I want us to notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. This morning, I'm calling all of us to live a life that's pleasing to God. To live a life that's honoring to God. And that takes faith. And here, the author tells us that anyone who comes to him, meaning to God, must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Are you sincerely seeking him? Because when we do, then we will see God work in ways that are supernatural. We will see God work in ways that we could never have imagined. We will see lives transformed from the inside out. So today, I'm asking all of you, will everybody in the whole room this morning, please, I'm asking 100% participation. Even those of you who don't like our connection cards, the next steps, will you take them out of your bulletin, please, this morning? And will you prayerfully enter into and let us pray with you about what your next step would be. So as you take out those connection cards, I want us to look at this very first next step. It says, I am willing to pray and explore the idea of being one of the 100 and helping launch our next site. Will you do this? What we're asking you is, will you at least just consider the idea of being one of the 100? And then let us know by making sure that you put your name and your email on here. And here's why. Because over the next 6 months, from now until January, we're going to be sending out a monthly email updating you as new information comes, as God continues to show us what our next step is. And we are praying that by January that we're going to be able to say a direction in which we're going, whether it's north, south, east, or west. And as we do this, we need you to be praying with us along the way. And so we invite you to be a part of that. And I understand, just because you say, hey, I'm willing to at least pray about this, you are not committing to be one of the 100. You're committing to praying about being one of the 100. This is what you're doing. So will you join us in this prayer and see what God does and maybe what God would do inside of you? And then notice the other step on there. It's really, there's two steps in this one. It says, I will seek God and ask Him about my sacrificial part to increase my giving and serving to help provide for our vision of radically changing the spiritual climate of Rhode Island. I want you to think about this, your part in the sacrificial giving part. This is intentional percentage giving. You know, the elders, as we have wrestled with this since September, since last September, we've been wrestling with this because we know it's going to take at least $1 million to enhance our own facility and then give us seed money to launch a new site. And as we're heading in this direction, we're asking God and seeking Him, how do we do this? And the conclusion was this. We're not going to stand up and say we need 400 people to give 69, 95 over the next month, you know, and then we're going to. No, that's not what we're not. What we're asking you to do is for you to go back and you ask God, God, what is your part in this? And as you wrestle with God, this will just strengthen your faith. As you wrestle with God and you say that, as you really look at your finances, you know, and again, we talked about this in January. And then we brought it up again in March. And now it's time to actually pull the trigger on this whole thing. So will you enter into this? And just as confirmation that this really is what the elders were led by God to do, is in this process, just a couple of months ago, someone, he texted me and he said, hey, can I meet with you? And later, when I actually met with him, he said, I was hoping you were going to say no. But I actually had an opening, and so I was able to connect with him. And he said, Rick, my wife and I have been wrestling with God. We've been praying about what is our part in this vision for the future. And so what I've done is we have written out two separate checks. And we're just trusting God with two separate amounts on them. And we're just trusting God that whenever I put my hand in my pocket and whatever I pull out, that's what God wants us to give. And so as he sat there across the table and he put his hand in his pocket and he pauses for a moment, as though he's praying to God, God, what do you want us to give as a family? Again, this is something him and his wife are doing together. They're asking God, seeking Him. What? He pulls out, he puts a check on the table. He says, use this towards the vision. So that's what we did. And that's exactly what the elders are praying that you will do, that you will ask God with your family, with your spouses, if you're single, between you and God, what is it does He want you to do to increase your giving? And then the other part on here is serving. Because if we're going to launch 100 people, you know, we're losing some people who are going to be serving with some of those 100. And so we need some of you who aren't feeling led to go and help us launch another site, but you could be raised up right here and replace them. So will you really pray and ask God about this. And again, just a testimony to what God does. I want to introduce you to this family. This is Danny and Sandra, and this is two of their three children. Two of their three children have special needs. And we started a buddy system here to be able to help families like Danny and Sandra so that they could actually worship together. In our buddy system, it's where they have a one-on-one, someone who will stay with their child throughout whatever class that they're in, because they need a one-on-one. And here is what is amazing about this. You heard, you see Sarah Snow over here on this side with her two children. Did you hear Dave in the very beginning, when we were on the grassy knoll, he shared about a Bible study that started in Jack and Jill Turini's home over 44 years ago, before Sarah Snow was even thought about in her dad or her mom's mind. Sarah Snow wasn't even born yet, but because a grandpa and a grandma in Johnston said, "We'll have a Bible study in our home," they give their life to Jesus. Then Jack and Jules' son gives his life to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, throughout the ages, their daughter, Tommy, and Linda's daughter, gives her life to Jesus. Now she's a mom, and she's like, "Hey, I don't have a whole lot of time. In fact, I'm a single mom. I've got two kids. But what I do have is an hour to worship on Sunday. And I've got an hour that I'll serve." And so what she does is she worships 1 hour and she serves on another hour. And the blessing that has been to that family is off the charts. And I wanted you to hear it right from Danny.
Sharing our experience with the buddies here at CCF. Our son Nathan, who's 8 years old, has special needs. And one of the challenges we face going to church is leaving him in the classes. If a class doesn't have somebody to be with him one-on-one, it's very difficult to keep him in his chair. He has no awareness of danger, may put things in his mouth. So I was happy to hear, or we were happy to hear, that when we spoke to Rick, and Pastor Steve about the buddy system here at CCF. We were excited that they offered that. And the buddy system basically, is a one-on-one person that's in the classroom with Nathan, and that's what he needs, because he'll just go all over the place. And not only does it help him, but it also helps the other kids, I think. Sometimes some kids, especially younger kids, don't know how to interact with our son because he's nonverbal. And, he might walk a little funny here and there, but, I think the buddy system helps other kids, too, to say, this kid is like me, I can interact with him. When we met Sarah and Charlotte, her daughter, we were so excited. She welcomed us so warmly at the church, and she was just ready to work with Nathan, and that just blessed us, because we knew that, he wasn't being a burden to her. She wanted to do it. It came from her eye. You could see it, that she was just oozing with love, and Nathan was just ready to go and have fun with her, and he went right away with her, and they went to the class, and happy to report that that day, we're thinking that at the end of service she was going to say, he was a little hard to handle, but she was like, "Oh my God, he's so fun," and it actually blessed her, she was saying, and we were happy to hear that she not only blessed us, but he was a blessing to her, and also to her daughter. It was nice to see her daughter also, the way she interacted with Nathan. And it's just very important for families like us. When we go to a church that we feel like we have a burden, we don't want to bring this burden to somebody else, but when somebody says, "Come on, we'll take him, we'll help you," we forget that he is, I don't want to say he's a burden, but there are challenges, so we forget that sometimes God puts special people in our lives for that reason. And I just want to encourage anybody, that's looking to put to use their gifts and talents, or even just their time. You don't have to be a professional with these kids, and I think it would be a great thing for you to think about and pray about it. So we're very happy, and we appreciate Sarah and the staff here who coordinated all this.
And see what a blessing serving is to you as the server. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that means in our serving too. Maybe it's not special needs, but maybe it's another way that God is calling you to serve. Will you let us pray with you? And just indicate it on this connection card. But maybe you're here today and you are here without placing your faith in Jesus. And that's what this last step is for. It says, today, for the first time, I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to be spiritually whole like the woman in our story this morning. You know, you could leave here today at peace with God, just like when that woman reached out by faith and touched Jesus. And he said, go in peace. Today, you could leave in peace. You could lay your head down on your pillow at peace with God. If you would just place your faith and your trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you need to do that today? Man, we would love to pray for you. And if you just indicate that, we will be praying for you this week as our team prays over these connection cards. We'll pray for you by name. And if you would leave us your phone number, we'd love to follow up with you with a phone call about you placing your faith and trust in Jesus. Let me pray for all of us today. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we are asking that you would move in all of our hearts. Every person in this room has a next step. Holy Spirit of God, we're praying that we would hear from you and that you would make clear what our next step is. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.